16. If you've got a red letter Bible like me, it's just like, it's all red. Matthew 13 is just all Jesus teaching and teaching and teaching and explaining. And what I love about the way he teaches is he uses everyday physical pictures that we can all readily agree with and understand. And we can kind of comprehend how it works. And he uses these everyday ordinary pictures to help explain profound kingdom truth, which we find hard to get hold of. So he talks about farmers sowing seeds. He talks about gardeners trying to plan where they're going to grow plants in their gardens that are going to grow huge. He uses women who would be baking bread at home. He says, and he talks about yeast, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this, and the kingdom of heaven is like that, and the kingdom of heaven works like this. And he helps people to understand that the kingdom of heaven, whatever that is, and we're going to look at what that means, the kingdom of heaven is like this, and it's like that, and it's like the other. And he uses these familiar pictures so that we can understand easily. And great preachers always do this. They will take something that we can all connect with, that we can all fully grasp and understand. And then they use those things to impact our lives with spiritual truth. Pete Gregg was at Revive this last week, and he was fantastic, such a great communicator. And Pete used things like greyhounds and cafe chairs and mosquitoes and typing on a laptop and things like this in order to explain how we might connect with God, how we might go deeper in prayer. We can grasp the most powerful and life-transforming truth so long as we can understand it. About 15 years ago, the Lord needed to get through to me. And so I took myself off for a day of walking on Slapton Sands. You all know it well, those of you who are local, you know what Slapton's like. I was at a point in my life where I was kind of drifting a little bit. Have you ever felt like that? Lack a little bit of purpose, you kind of lost touch with who you are a little bit and what God's doing in your life. And I felt a little bit drifty, like it had been a while since I'd heard God say, this is what you're about, this is who you are. So I took myself off to Slapton Sands, and I decided I'm just going to walk from the Torcross end up to the nudist end and back. You know which bits I'm talking about. I'm going to do that. I'm just going to slowly walk it there and back. And it just so happened to be a really, really windy day. It was like walking into the wind, first on one way, and walking away from the wind, wind at my back on the way back. And I was just trudging into the wind, feeling a little bit lost, feeling a little bit like, Lord, I just need some fresh word over my life. I just need to know what I'm here for. I feel like I'm just kind of trudging from one year to the next at the moment. I feel a little bit aimless, a little bit lost. And as I was walking along, just kind of pouring out my heart, I lifted up my eyes. I felt God say, look up. And there up on the hill was the Daymark. Do you know what I'm talking about? Great big tower up on the headland. And you can see it from miles. You can see it from all sorts of places around the South Hams, from everywhere. Of course, you can see it from the sea as well. That's what it's there for. It's a fixed point on the horizon where people know where they are via the Daymark. That's what it's for. And I felt the Lord say, I want you to be like that. I want you to stand tall. I want you to stand strong. I want you to stand clearly so that people can see your life. I want your life, Aid, to be like a marker for the kingdom. So that when people look at you, when they look at your life and how you're living, they can understand something about where they are in their lives and that they can use something of your life to navigate and find their way home. This is what I felt the Lord say to me on that day where I just really needed his word. And do you know what? It was exactly the encouragement and the refocusing that I needed. And so that's been by my bed for the last 15 years. It's just a shot of the day mark. So every time I go to bed and every time I wake up, that's one of the first things I see. I now have something physical, something tangible that I can pin God's word on that helps me to understand something of who I am and what I'm called to. And I can see it. Not just when I go to bed, but I can see it all sorts of places in this area. I'd be driving, just come up over a rise, and there's the day mark, and it's like, bang, the Holy Spirit kind of wakes it up in me again. I remember something. And if I want to, I can also do a little pilgrimage to the day mark. I can stand there, I can put my hands on the stones and remember. There's something about this that is to characterize my life and to stand for something of who I am. I've had times where I've had to make massive decisions in my life, and I've gone to spend the day sat in front of the day mark, just gone and sat up against the stones looking out to sea. Lord, I want to align my life with what you say first. Show me in this place where you've spoken to me before. Speak to me again. Show me what I am to do. And you can yield to the call once again. And Jesus did the same with all who followed him. He showed them familiar things that spoke a powerful word about the life God was calling them to. So for those of you who are hungry and thirsty for this life that Jesus was offering, these massive revelations can come to you. These things that can speak a powerful word. As Jesus' followers listened to him, he would draw them in with these simple pictures and then blow their minds with the freedom and beauty of the kingdom, and the Spirit would help them. And some of you are thinking, I'd love that. I would love something a little bit like that, where God would take something and make it profoundly important for my life. Is any of you thinking, I'm hungry and thirsty for a fresh word like that? For God to break through into my experience and say, this is who you are and who you're called to be. Well, if that's you, I would love to pray for you at the end. I'd love just to pray for that revelation to come. But while we're here in the service, right now, let me give you something to take away with you today. You see, Jesus turned to his friends and he said, you know what the kingdom of heaven is like for you, for your life? He said, it's like a merchant who went in search of fine pearls. And when he found a pearl of great price, he sold everything he had so that he could have that one pearl. There's something about this story that speaks in a powerful word to us. Do you know what? This life that God has called us into, this kingdom life, is first and foremost, it's unique. A pearl is not a really, really expensive pearl unless it's a rare one, unless there's not another one on the planet that is like it. And so that is something, I keep seeing that and going, that's funny. There is something about this pearl. Morris, can you breathe? Yeah, we're okay. No string around the neck, please. Thanks. There is something about this pearl that is completely unique. And there is something about this relationship that God calls us into, this kingdom of God relationship, this covenant, this life that God calls us into, that Jesus is trying to explain to his followers. There's something about it that is utterly unique. You can search the whole earth for 100 lifetimes and you will not find anything even close to the value of life spent with God. A covenant relationship with God where he takes you on as a whole person, and loves you through, and builds you up, and brings you into his family. There's nothing like it in the whole earth. Life in the kingdom, this transforming relationship, is worth any cost that we could have to give. And Jesus didn't just tell the story, he modeled it. He was the merchant on the lookout for you. Have you ever read it that way? Who is the merchant? What is the pearl? So often we hear this story that this is about us and we've got to give everything we have to possess this relationship with God. And that is true. But have you ever thought that who in the scriptures has given absolutely everything that they may purchase something? It's him. He's the one that's modeled it. He was on the lookout like a merchant looking for fine pearls, and he found you. And he said, you know what? You are worth everything I have to give. I would give it all for you, because he saw you clean. He saw you restored and redeemed and remade and empowered and anointed and crowned and welcomed into an eternal family. He saw you and he said, I would give everything that I might have you, that I might enter into this covenant relationship with you. You are the precious pearl. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are a precious pearl. (Clears throat) Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says this: we keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, because of the joy awaiting him. That's you. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. You are what he had in mind that carried him through the torture and the shame and the stripping and the dying. He died with nothing, not even the clothes on his back. He died giving absolutely everything that he is, that he might do this transaction and purchase an eternal relationship with you. That's the pearl that Jesus was going after. Paul, the apostle, saw something of this. He was caught up into the wonder of this incredibly valuable life that Jesus came to bring. And he says this in Philippians 3. He said, he lists all the things that he used to find valuable. And he says this: I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a real Hebrew, if ever there was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, or without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counted it all as rubbish, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. To gain Christ and to become one with him. This life that Jesus has called us into is personal for each and every one of us. It's as personal for you as the day mark is for me. This parable was given, if you were the only person on the planet, he would want you to have it in your hands, that you might understand it, that you might possess it, that you might give your all in a reciprocated love to the one who has given all for you. It cost him everything. It will cost us everything. But this covenant relationship is worth more than all the riches of the world. I invite the band to come and set up.